Sorry, how many of you have ever, like, forgotten what you were going to say? How many of you ever walked into the room wondering, why did I come into this room? Right? And then you go back out thinking that if you come back in, it'll jog your memory. Am I the only person that's ever done that? No? Okay, yes, I'm not the only person that's ever done that. Well, did you know that our long-term memory can hold 2.5 petabytes of data, which I had to look what that up. That's 300 years worth of TV. Long-term memory. But our short-term memory can only hold 5 to 9 items at a time. So no wonder we forget what we're going to say. We forget why we walked into a room. We have to go back out. We wonder, let's see, did I put my keys here or are they in that bag or that bag? No wonder, right? Well, how are we going to remember? How do we move something from our short-term memory to our long-term memory? Is by three ways. Number one, we need to regularly encounter it. We need to have put forth an active effort to understand something. And then we also, the depth of our emotional intensity also makes it go from our short-term to long-term. Now, us moms who've had kids, you know, we've only encountered labor once or twice or three times or four times, depending on how many times we've had kids. We don't have to encounter labor regularly to remember that, right? It's an intense and emotional time. But there are other areas where maybe we have to put an active effort to understanding something, or we need to encounter it regularly. Now, why do I tell you all of this? Because we're doing a series on the 7 Hebrew words of praise. And about 10 to 12 years ago, when I began leading worship, when I kind of stepped into the leadership role of this, I knew that it wasn't about what I wanted or what music I liked or my agenda. I really wanted to know, what did God say? Because it's far easier to just learn to do what God says right off the bat. You know, you used to have that practice makes perfect. It actually makes permanent. Practice makes permanent. So if I'm practicing something wrong, it becomes permanent. It's far harder to change it. So when I stepped into this role, I really, the weight of it just was a heavy weight. And I thought, Lord, I know your word has a guide and has a plan. So I started researching and reading the word. And I have about 8 of these little books, all different colors, at my house. And they are, this is my long-term memory, just so you know. My long-term memory is found in 8 little books like this at my house. But this was my How I'm Going to Learn to Lead Worship, God's Way book. And one of the things that I ended up doing is I got to attend a Worship Institute conference up in Minneapolis. And I'm going to get to why I'm telling you this. But in all of my research of God's Word, I then started reading books written by people like you and me. And I read a book, and I'm like, yeah, that's got some good points. But then I came across an author that everything that he wrote about worship and praise lined up with what my own personal study had shown me in here. And he was speaking at this conference, so I'm like, I want to go meet him, make sure he's the real deal, because, you know, people are not Jesus, right? People are not God. So I wanted to meet him in person, and he was the real deal. But it was there that I encountered the 7 Hebrew words of praise. And when I encountered the 7 Hebrew words of praise, my mind was blown, because I thought, I've read the Bible for so many years, and we have so many instructions to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's over and over and over again. And maybe for some of us, we might have grown up in a church where you didn't really talk. If you were in the sanctuary, you just kind of stood like this, and it was solemn and it was serious. And then you read in the Bible, I'm supposed to praise the Lord, but my church says, we can't make a lot of noise. We got to keep the noise level here. Are you tracking with me? And then there are some people that grew up in churches where it was just a hooting and a hollering, kind of chaotic. And those are the two extremes. So somewhere, we've got to figure out, what does God say? If we can figure out what he counts as praise, we're going to then be able to praise his name in a way that pleases his heart. So we did this. We did the seven Hebrew words of praise, and there was this worship band. We were in this big sanctuary, and the worship leader, he taught on a word, and then he made us practice. Like grown adults. He said, okay, everybody, we're going to all do this. And so for Zamar, we learned last week, Zamar was to pluck or to prune. And the way that he demonstrated that is, you know, it's movement. If you're plucking strings on an instrument, you're moving. If you're pruning vines in a grapevine, you're moving. So he instructed us to get up, and he wanted us to walk around the room while the instruments played. Do you know how uncomfortable that was? I mean, you come into a church, and what do? You stand when you're told to stand, you sit when you're told to sit, and then you be quiet, right? And you listen to the leader, okay? So here I am. There's probably 300 of us. We're sitting in this room. We all look at each other like, are you going to get up? I don't know. Are you going to get up? Well, I guess I'm going to get up. So I get up, and we did. We just started wandering up and down the rows while the instruments played. And then as we were doing that, he then instructed us in Tehillah, which we learned last week, and that was about songs of praise. So then he's like, okay, folks, the instruments are playing. You just start singing words to God. And we're like, I looked at the person behind me. I'm like, you going to do it? Oh. Are you going to do it? Oh. So we started. We started doing things like, Lord, we praise your name. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. And he took us then through all of the rest of the five, and he had us practice. There were some people that didn't participate. And I remember finishing that hour feeling like they lost out. Because while it was awkward and uncomfortable, God's Spirit moved in the room. You know that we call it the Holy Ghost goosebumps? Imagine that. But it was more than just a physical response, but I felt him just stirring in my heart. I felt this emotional response. And sometimes in churches, we hear about those that are super emotional, and so we're like, I don't think we can be that emotional. But then we go too far the other way. We're like, we can't have any emotion with God at all. But folks, he made emotions. And when we can channel them and corral them into this glorious praise. And so I encountered the seven Hebrew words of praise. I had an emotional experience with God during those seven Hebrew words of praise. And then I came home and I decided to take an active effort to understand them. Why is that important? Well, because God has placed me here to lead you. I want to make sure that I'm not leading you astray. I want to make sure that our times of worship are opportunities for you to praise God the way that he says he wants to be praised. So our biblical elements of worship. This is just, we're going to do a little quick review class. We have prayer and thanksgiving. We have the reading of the scriptures. We have receiving teaching. We have discipline. We have communion. We have giving. And then we have praise. All throughout the Bible, praise is overwhelmingly addressed with music and our voice. Now, does God say you have to have a pretty voice to sing? No, not at all. In fact, I don't think he cares if we have pretty voices or not. I really think he gives people the gift of singing to other people's for the benefit of people's other ears, not for his. That is my 100% conviction. So he says to sing, he says to make music. Not just in this broad context of our corporate church, but also he wants us to practice them in our individual lives in that narrow context of those 6 days out of the week that we're not together. He wants us to praise him with an open heart, to allow him to prune our hearts, as Zamar indicates, to let some really beautiful music, just point our hearts to him. And then last week we talked about Tehillah, that song, those songs of praise. I love it that we have words, right? When we're doing corporate worship, wouldn't it be hilariously chaotic if we all just started singing whatever we wanted, right? That just doesn't quite work. So that's why during our worship time, we pause. We pause during our worship time. And I just let the instruments pray, and I invite you. This is your time to do Tehillah, to sing your songs of praise. Because I don't just want us to have an intellectual understanding of what it is to praise God. I want us to have an experience, to move our intellectual understanding to an experiential understanding. So, my two words this week are one. Pastor Larry was kind. He didn't assign me any words. I was able to pick them. I love all of the words, but these two in particular, God has shown me how I am able to praise him when my life is falling apart, and I'm able to praise him when I see no evidence of him moving on my behalf, right? Have you guys ever prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed some more, and you're thinking, well, my prayers must be bouncing off the ceiling. You know, God's not listening. I mean, I've had that. I have situations that I prayed for years over. But God has shown me how I can still praise him in that with these two words. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is yada. Right there. It's a cute little word, yada. So everyone say yada. Good job. All right, so we're learning some Hebrew. And Pastor's like, she really didn't pronounce it correctly. I'll fix it later, guys. All right, so yada, the definition means to revere or worship with extended hands. So do you know some of us are far more comfortable with lifting our hands? You see me raise my hands every Sunday, right? I'm yada-ing. Yada. We praise God with extended hands. Another interpretation of this word is also to bemoan by wringing of hands. Like this. Have you ever, does this make sense? Like you're really worried about something. You're like, oh, I'm just so worried. It's like you're massaging a Play-Doh. It's like you just keep massaging it over and over again. So that's our definitions, and we're going to explain why both of them work together here in just a minute. But I wanted you to know that this word, yada, is translated as praise 53 times in the Bible, and it's interpreted as give thanks 23 times. So if we can have Psalm 111:1 up here on the board, it says, praise the Lord. I will extol, yada, the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. I want to point out that the psalmist decided to praise God with all his heart. All. That's important. All our heart. But I know it's easy. I sometimes hold my heart back from God. What holds our hearts back from God? Interactive time. What are some of the things that hold our hearts back from him? Fear. Guilt. Bitterness. Shame. Disappointment. Doubt. Worries, massaging that chunk of Play-Doh in my hand over and over again. So as I was studying this word for the first time, like I said, I encountered it. I came home, active effort to understand it. I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles 20. So 2 Chronicles, find the middle of your Bible, and then go to the front halfway from the middle. And you'll get to around the 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You see, here we encounter a man who is facing hand-wringing troubles. His name was Jehoshaphat, and he was the king of Judah. Now, just a little bit for us for historical context. God's people by this time had been split into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Israel just had king after king that did evil in the eyes of God. Sometimes they had a good one, not very often. Judah had some. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he got word that a bad news was coming. Now, I grew up on the plains of Montana, big sky country, and Chuck and I laugh. He goes, this sky's really big. I'm like, it is. The sky's big everywhere, but out there, you can literally see from horizon to horizon, sky. There are no trees. There are no acreages. There's no yard lights. There's grass and cows and ranches that are 20 miles apart from another and towns. I moved here and I thought, I can be in another town in like 10 miles? What? I had no idea. I had to drive at least 20, 30 miles to even see another town. So when a storm was coming, it would roll up on the prairie. You could see it coming from a long way off. And you would see those clouds. They'd be black and they'd billow up. And then it would just storm like crazy. But on the prairie also, sometimes you have no idea that a storm is coming. And all of a sudden, you're just caught in the middle of a crazy storm. That happens in the wintertime. They're called blizzards. We get them around here, but up there, they are bad. I'm glad I moved south. So Jehoshaphat, he was warned. Great multitude was coming to attack. They were weak. They had no defense. So what did he do? He went before the Lord. He called the people before the Lord. And what they did, he told God of his helplessness. We can learn from that, right? How many of us are, I get a little prideful and I think I can just fix it all myself. And God, I'll talk to you when I've exhausted all my efforts. Am I the only one that does that? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. But Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did is he told God of his helplessness, okay? And God said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to yada while you march out to battle. So he went from a hand-wringing exercise. Remember, yada can also mean intensively to bemoan, to wring your hands. He went like from this to this. And he yada'd. And he said, give, and all the people joined him, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And while they yada'd, and Pastor Larry's going to bring us back around, so I'm not going to spend too much time on 2 Chronicles 20. Just got to come back. Keep coming back. While they yada'd, on their way to battle, okay, that's important. They yada'd on their way to battle where they thought they would be destroyed. God took care of the enemy for them. Isn't that awesome? That is so amazing that through their willingness to admit their helplessness, through their willingness to stop doing this and do this, God moved on their behalf and they didn't have to fight. If you could put up Psalm 118. 118:21, I will give thanks, yada, for you answered me, you have become my salvation. How many of us remember God's answers to prayer in our lives? Do we? Do we? My dad had a miracle. He had a heart attack and a stroke 2 weeks ago. A little backstory. I didn't grow up with my dad. We started a relationship when I was an adult. I'm not ready to lose him. I'm not ready for him to go home to heaven. He had a heart attack and a stroke, had an angiogram last week. There are no blockages in his heart, and he's completely healed from his stroke. Yada. Yada. I praise you that you have answered me and given me my salvation. But what happens when God doesn't seem like he's answering? What happens when it seems like he said no or he's saying wait? What do we do then? Ta-da! Everybody say, Toda. Toda. That's that. I spelt it so we could pronounce it. That's not the Hebrew spelling, just so you know. I got to be honest here. All right, so Toda is praise rendered to God by acknowledging and abandoning sin. Who is thankful God rescued us from hell? Yes and amen. Hallelujah, right? Ta-da. Woo! But what about our everydays? Those habits and those behaviors that we know God says, please stop, my dearest child. But we persist in making idols, or we persist in holding on to the guilt that God has set us free from. We can also praise him when he sets us free from that, right? And by when we abandon it. Important thing to remember about Tada as well is that it is a sacrifice of praise. I have found it's most difficult to praise God when he is not acting in a way that I don't agree with. Am I bossy or what? To God? God, you are not doing what I think you should do. So I don't think I'm going to praise you this Sunday. I'm just not going to show up. People can just lead themselves. It becomes a sacrifice of praise. It's a decision that we make not based on our feelings. And that becomes that sacrifice of praise. Psalm 56:12. I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings, praise to you. I will present my Tada, my offerings. Offerings cost us something, right? But what makes it hard to give thanks? Do you know that our brains are hardwired for negativity? I have a good friend. She's a neuropsychologist. We talk about this. Our brains are hardwired for negativity. And isn't it great? Romans 12:1 says, this is a side note, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pretty cool. So not only are our brains wired for negativity, thank you, Adam and Eve, in the garden of sin where they changed everything, including the composition of our brain. We tend to remember the bad better than the good. This is a phenomenon that I have observed in my own life, and I'm going to assume you have too. When you have a really, really hard situation and you know that God helped you about it, do you really like to spend a lot of time remembering the hard situation? I mean, I know that God has helped me through overcoming bitterness, overcoming resentment, but sometimes I don't like to think back on that time because I feel kind of bad for how my bitterness exhibited itself. It's like, wow, I was like really angry, really sharp-tempered, sharp-tongued. I don't want to think about that. And yet, when we think back, if we can think about how God set us free, how he forgave us, then we can remember that when we're in our new hard situations and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm going to tada you. I'm going to sacrifice my thoughts, my feelings, my ways, because I want to praise your name. Let's turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah is just past Isaiah. So if you do the middle of the Bible and you go just slightly past the middle of the Bible, Jeremiah 33. Israel had already been conquered by the Assyrians. They were no more. Judah was about to be. The Babylonians were going to capture them and disperse them. Talk about a bleak future. They'd be taken from their homes. They would lose their livelihood. They would no longer be free people. How in the world can you praise God in that type of a situation? Right? It's hard. And yet, chapter 33, I'm going to read, let's look at verse 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without men or animals. Have you ever felt like your life is a desolate waste? Or a situation that you're in? Yeah. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. So here we have, in two verses, a description of desolation and then a choice to praise. Tadah, that sacrifice of praise, indicates that we can thank God, we can praise Him for what He's about to do in our lives. So can you hold in your mind a situation that you are praying about, frustrated about, worried about, like, you know, it's distracting you. And now in your mind, say, thank you, Lord, for working in this situation. Thank you, Lord, that your light is shining forth. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayers and that I believe you are going to answer my prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are in my future. Thank you, Lord, that you go before me. Chapter 33 of Jeremiah also speaks of the someday return of Jesus. Who's looking forward to that? No more tears, no more sickness. This world that we live in, that we occupy and dominate and build our lives on, this is just our temporary home. So even if we're facing desolation, I think of my friends that are in Western North Carolina. Lost everything. God is still good. God is still with them. And there's a future hope for them. I love how Pastor brought out Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. We can praise the Lord. We can tada the Lord. We can thank Him for what He is about to do. The root... Oh, let's do Hebrews 13. Yes, thank you, Brandon. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. I've been in churches where I've had conversations with people where they say, well, as long as I'm praising God in my heart, I don't have to do anything with my voice. What does God's word say? Fruit of our lips. We have to speak it. I give you an opportunity. Pastor gives us an opportunity every Sunday to use the fruit of our lips to openly profess His name, to sacrifice. Sometimes when we come here, it's a sacrifice to praise the Lord. It's a sacrifice to open up our hearts to Him. It's a sacrifice to lift our hands. But isn't it good when we do? Isn't it good when we do? The root of both yada and tada is the word yod. And this is why I put these two words together, because they share the root word. And it makes me excited. Because the root word yod means open hand, literally and figuratively. So, figuratively, have you ever tried taking something out of a toddler's hand that has their hands like this? Yeah, it's pretty hard. Did you know that we do that too? We don't want to let go of some things. We don't want to open our hands. Yad, open our hands figuratively. Open our hands figuratively. Cast our doubts aside. Set aside our disappointments. Stop holding on to what was and look ahead to what is. And then we reach our hands up to God, declaring our praise in Him. And sometimes that's easy, right? Because the sun is shining, the sky is blue, the temperature is just right. Life is good. And other times we're in a desert. We wonder, oh, how are we supposed to do this, right? But God says, let it go and open your hands to me. So yada, we're going to open our hands to Him to let go of what holds us back. And tada, we're going to sacrifice our praise. It's a decision not based on our feelings, but what we know to be true. And God says to praise Him. Praise is one aspect of worship. That's why we're doing this whole series. We can learn and put into practice what God means by the word praise. Not by what we think, not by how we grew up. And let me tell you something. Sometimes when God asks us to do something, it feels uncomfortable because we've never done it before, right? But that doesn't mean that we're supposed to not do it. And the more we encounter it, the more comfortable we become. The Latin etymology of the word praise is value or price. How much do you value God? Is he priceless to you? I've learned that the answer to that impacts my willingness to sacrifice, my praise, my thank offerings. It determines my willingness to choose to praise him despite what I see around him. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice. Ha ha. We're going to sing, I Exalt Thee. I'm going to lead it. Amber's going to come on up. She's going to play. Sarah's in the back with the kids today. I have found that when I know what God means, I can walk with assurance and confidence in what he's called us to do. So today, we're going to do Yada. We're going to open our hands. We're going to raise its extended hands even. I mean, you can do it down here if you want, or here, or up here. Just open your hands and extend them out. Either you're going to release the things that you're worried about, and you're going to say, I'm going to praise you, Lord, because your love endures forever. You are steadfast. You are mighty. I believe that you're working on my behalf. I believe you're working in this situation. We're going to yada and tada. So if you're able, I want you to stand.